Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Daf Lamed Zayin. We begin 9 lines from the top of the Amud. Says the Gemara, V'hein oinin achrov. This takes us back to the Mishnah, where we learned that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, while leaning on his par, would say the Vidui, which contained the mentioning of Hashem's name 3 times. Now, which name would he mention? Some of Farshim explain it's referring to the Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Some go a step further, it's referring to the Shem HaMeforesh, which had 42 Oisiyes. In any case, those present would respond by responding. V'heina in Achrov, they would say Baruch Shem, K'void Malchusoy, L'Olam Vod, they would acknowledge the mentioning of Hashem's name, add praise, extol the Shevach of Hashem, and express their gratitude at having the privilege of taking part in Hashem's Malchus. Hashem's Malchus, which was very visible in that location, in the Beis HaMikdash. Tanya Rabbi Yoimin. Rabbi presented a brisa which brings a raya to this concept, that you meant to respond and acknowledge when you hear the mentioning of Hashem's name. We have a pasuk in Dvarim. Kishem Hashem Ekro, Havagoyde Lelekenu. This is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Klal Yisrael. Omer Lehem Moshe Yisrael. Moshe turns to Yisrael and he says, Kishem Hashem Ekro, which means B'shoa She'ani, Masker Shmosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whenever I mention Hashem's name, you respond in kind. Havu, you give. Havu Goydel Lelokeinu. Atem Havu Goydel. You acknowledge and take part in that experience by saying Baruch Shem Kved Nachusoy Lelam Vod. Chananya Ben Achi Rabbi Shua Aymer. Chananya, the son of Rabbi Shua's brother, his nephew, he presented another source, a pasuk in Mishlei. Zecher Tzadik Livracha. This is Shlomo Melech speaking. Amar lehem Navi Yisrael. The Navi turned to Yisrael. In this case, the Navi is Shlomo. He said, Zeichet Tzadik. That should generate bracha. B'shoa shani mazgir Tzadik Elamim. Whenever I mention the eternal Tzadik, the name of Hashem, Atat Nu Bracha, you meant to respond in kind. Havu Goyda Lelkeinu. Provide a bracha. Take part in that experience. B'mashabech Hashem as well. How does this apply today? Says the Pri Chadosh. We learn from this Gemara that whenever a person hears the name of Hashem, he's meant to respond by saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shmoy. It's an abridged version of the Baruch Shem. Says the Siach Yitzchak, but that's only if it's within the context of a Baruch. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. We say Baruch Baruch Hu Baruch Shmoy. But otherwise, that response is not necessary, not in place. What's the difference? Nefesh HaChaim, other Mefarshim explain, what's the point of Baruch? You give a bracha to Hashem. Hashem need our bracha. He's the source of all existence. The point of bracha is to acknowledge, to bond with Hashem by acknowledging that He indeed is the source of all existence, the source of all chayis in the world. And He is the makor of bracha. He exudes forth bracha and life. So by acknowledging, we connect, we recognize, we relate to Hashem. And that's the dveikus that we acquire by saying that. It's not for His sake, it's for our sake. So if it's within a bracha context, Baruch Atah Hashem, then it's appropriate to respond by saying, yeah, Hashem indeed is the mekor of bracha, the source of life. But just plain Shem Hashem does not require that response. Says the Siach Yitzchak, okay, so what about by the vidui? It wasn't a bracha. But here it's different, he says, because here it was a Shem Havaya, which is the Shem Hashem, which represents this concept that Hashem indeed is the source, the constant source of life being pumped into the world. Or for Shem HaMeforesh, certainly so. In that case, says Siach Yitzchak, it's different, and indeed this response is appropriate. Baruch Shem Kved Malchusoy, or Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoy. In fact, there's another application, the concept of Amen, that we say after a bracha. Mishnah Brewer brings this in Siman Reish Tazayin Erechaim. Based on this pasuk, Kishem Hashem Ekro, Hava Goydel Ekein, we learn that whenever we hear a bracha, at the end of that bracha we acknowledge, we say Amen. And the kasha on this is, what about during Bichas Koyanim? You'll hear many people in Shul saying, Yivarech Hashem, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoy. Why do we say Baruch Hu if it's not the bracha? So firstly, could be Bichas Koyanim is considered a bracha. That's why Baruch Hu is in place. Or, because keep in mind that in the Beis HaMikdash, Birchas Kohanim was indeed expressed with the Shem Hashem. Shem Havaya. So we just continue that practice, and we say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoy, just as it did in the Beis HaMikdash. Over there was Baruch Shem Kodesh Chusay, today we abridge it. Continues the Mishnah. Boloi L'Mizr Chazor. So when he's done Vidoy, he steps back, he backtracks to the Mizr Chazor, towards the entranceway of the Azara. L'Tzofen HaMizbech. So he's going to prepare for the lottery, for the Kalfi, to do the Geirolos, to establish which goat, he had a pair of goats there, which one was designated Lashem for a Chatas, and which one Lazazel. And anything involving these Karbonites were meant to take place on the Tzofen portion of the Azara. So walking to the Azara, the right would be Tzofen, the left Dorim. So this was meant to take place with Tzofen, but more towards the entranceway, away from the Hechel. So this was L'Mizrach HaZara, towards the Mizrach, L'Tzofen HaMizbech. And actually pulled towards the Tzofen, away from the Mizbech, because the Mizbech was on the Dorim, on the left of the Azara. So he was drawn to the Tzofen of the Mizbech, in order to be in the Tzofen of the Azara. Hasgan b'miminoi, Ken Gadol had a Sgan, a vice president, on his right, the backup fellow, V'roish b'Zav b'smoiloi, and Roish b'Zav, who was the head of the today's contingency, the head of the today's group of Kehanim, he would be positioned on the left of the Ken Gadol, so he had the Sgan on the right, Roish b'Zav on the left, and that's how he would proceed to do the Gerolis. V'sham shnei se'irim, and he had two goats positioned there, V'kalf yoseshem, and there was this lottery box there, Ubash Negarolis, which contained two tickets. Shel Eshkeroya Hayu, made of Eshkeroya wood. Some say this is boxwood. So you had two tickets, two pieces of wood. One of them said, name of Hashem. The other one, Lazazel. Originally, they were made of wood. Vaason ben Gamla Shalzov. Ben Gamla, who was a Kohen Gadol. You may remember, he's the one that was appointed by Yanneh HaMelech. He was paid off. By his wife, Yeshua Ben Gamla's wife, the rich, wealthy Almana, Marsa Bas Baisus. So he was a Kohen Gadol who was generous, and he upgraded. He turned the lottery tickets into gold, from wood to gold. V'asam Ben Gamla Shalzav. V'ayum Askirim Oysay L'Shvach. The Rabbanon would recall his name with praise. He was on the honor roll for donating the golden lotteries. We continue with a list of other generous fellows in the Beis HaMikdash. Ben Katan, who was also a Kohen Gadol, also Yudbeis Dad Lekir. He upgraded the Kir, and he donated 12. He fashioned 12 spouts, 12 faucets coming out of the Kir, instead of the original two. Shelo Yehoyeloi El Hashnaim. Initially, he only had two spouts. He added for a total of 12. So that all the Kehanim involved in the Korban Tamid can wash their hands and feet at the same time without delay. Va'af hu asa muchni l'kir. Ben Katan added another feature, a muchni, a wheel, a pulley system for the kir, to allow it to be lowered into the ground overnight, shelo yiyu meimav nifsalim belina, to prevent its waters from becoming pasal by being left overnight outside, by lowering it into the ground and connecting it to the into the groundwater. It was connected to the Mayim, and it was no longer going to be possible in Munbaz HaMelech Haya Oise Kol Yidois HaKelim Shel Yemek Yipurim Shalzov. Munbaz provided this donation. He switched all the handles of the Yom Kippur utensils into gold. Hilni Ima, his mother Hilni, she was also a generous donor, like son, like mother, also son of Resh Shalzov. Al Pesach Ha'ichel. She donated a nevreshes, some sort of candelabra, some sort of gold fixture, which was suspended up on top of the entranceway into the Heichel, Al Pesach Shal Heichel. And the Gemara will explain what it was, what the purpose for this was. Va'af he also saw Tavla Shalzov. She also donated a golden tablet, Sheparashas Soitok Suvole, on which the Parsha of Soitok, those psukim, were engraved. Then the Kohen Gadol could just take a look at this tablet without having to take out a Sefer Torah. He would use it and copy the Psukim from there. Niknar, this is the famous Niknar, Nasu Nisim Dasoysev. His doors experienced great miracles. V'yimaskir Neisel Shvach, And this is going back on all those mentioned in the Mishnah, Vayimaskir and Oysan Lishvach HaChamim would recall all those donors, all these people, Lishvach, and praise and honor for donating these items to the Beis HaMikdash. Let's take a look at Rashi, 12 lines from the top. Bodlai LeMizrach, the King Gadol now is retracting, going back to the Mizrach, Chayzer HaChayr HaVitzam Mizrach. Samach HaPesach, near the entranceway of the Azor, Shlo Yimachnisim HaSeirim LaHagru. They wouldn't take the Seirim, the goats, all the way into the interior of the Azor and the Heichel. Ela Shayu B'Seichel HaAzor, as long as it's within the Azor area, Kedich Siv Yamid Oysam Hnei Hashem, Avaloi LeKar M'Kalkach Tad HaHeichel, they wouldn't bring it near the Heichel. Atru Bala Shoichtoi, until the point of Shechita came, Hayimakriv and Oysa, then they would take that Soir, which was designated as a Chatos, and bring it closer to the Heichel, because it's not like, come on, Heviyu Loisa Soir Shechotoi. So now we backtrack to the entranceway to the Mizrach of the Azorah, which was Letzofen HaMizbeach. Kolemar, Moshech Mekineged HaMizbeach Letzad Sofen. He was pulled away towards Sofen, away from the Mizbeach towards Sofen. Because the Mizbeach was in Durham, and he had to be in Sofen. Sheyehei Kineged Avir Shebe Mizbeach Letzofen. So being that he had to be Betzofen, and Mizbeach was Betdurim, he had to be opposite the airspace, the empty airspace which was between Mizbeach and Tzofen. So, walking into the Azor, we have Tzofen to your right, Durham to your left. If the Mizbeach was on the left side of the Azor, on the Durham side, and you wanted to be standing on Tzofen, so on the one hand you are on Mizrach Azor, towards the east, towards the entranceway, but you were not opposite the Mizbeach, because Mizbeach was not in Tzofen. It was not protruding to Tzofen at all. It was all the way by Durham. So you had to be Litzafen HaMizbeach, pulled away from the Mizbeach, towards Tzafen, opposite the airspace, which was between the northern facing wall of the Mizbeach and the north wall of the Azor. The Afkav L'Shach Lehacha, says Rashi, well, why was he Bitzafen HaZor? There was no Shechita now. Mikol Mokam Kol Masav to Nitzafen, all the activities involving these Korbanos were required to be done Bitzafen. Vashmina, the fact that the Mishnah describes it in such great detail, Mizrach Azor, Litzofen HaMizbeach, it tells us something about the location of the Mizbeach. Vashmina, Sh'ein Tzofen, Keneged Mizrach HaMizbeach. That if he wants to be on Tzofen Azor, he's not going to be to the east of the Mizbeach. There's no Mizbeach, but Tzofen. So this tells us something regarding the location of Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was actually all the way Bedar. Kalfi, Ashkar and Balaz, Shoshkirei Brosh. It was a lottery box made of this type of wood. And it had, actually Mishnah doesn't say what the kafi was made of, but the lotteries were made of Ashkaroya. And Shoban Gamlok, Shinasmana Bekuna Gedolah, when he was appointed Kohen Gadol, he upgraded the lottery tickets from wood to gold. Ben Katan, he was also Kohen Gadol Haya. Also Yudiz Dad, the Tzik HaSamayim, 12 faucets coming out of the kir. And he added the Mukhni as well. Varsh Begimar, Galgal, wheel. L'shakai b'babar, which enabled it to be lowered into the ground, shiu meima v'chubarim l'meim yakir, to attach two waters together, v'loib, because otherwise have a mifse belina, it become possible belina if it's left overnight, v'shu kach b'kli, because the water in the kir is kaddish, v'loib kavet kachim hu l'pasal ma'im kaddishim. What was the benefit of having it lowered in the ground? First of all, practically, this way you don't have to spill it out and refill it, and also, it's not kavet kachim, to have to spill it out on a daily basis. Because remember, the water within the kir was kaddish and klicharis. You don't want to spill it out for no reason. She donated the nevreshes. What is that? Menorah. Candelabra. V'doymalei b'sefer Daniel, as we find over there, l'kaval nevrashto d'dahava b'maseh b'ashetz. What else did she donate? A tavlish alzov, which had the parsha soita k'suvala, v'leitztarach l'haviz teira l'ichta menu v'gila soita b'migdash. This would allow the Kohen Gadol, or the Kohen, to just simply copy out of the tablet without having to bring a Sefer Torah for that purpose. Niknar, Nasu Nisam Dasoysav, Shema Ish Niknar, that was his name. Rashi in Soita actually says he was an Adam Gadol. He certainly showed great sacrifice. Remember, he wanted to, he insisted that they throw him in to the sea together with his door. So it was Mesiras Nefesh, a great man. Veneshlim Farshba Gemara, and of course, we're going to see the Nais described in detail on Daf Lamed Ches. Continues the Gemara. Midika Amar Letzafen HaMizbeach. The Gemara now is going to relate to what Rashi briefly explained in the Mishnah regarding the location of the Mizbeach. So we learn that the Kohen Gadol would backtrack all the way to the Mizrach of the Azara. Letzav on HaMizbeach. Why does the Mishnah have to add Letzav on HaMizbeach? Medeka Omer Letzav on HaMizbeach. The fact that the Mishnah adds that detail. Mechlal the Mizbeach la Vetzafen Koi. Apparently the Mizbeach was not in Tzafen at all. It wasn't even protruding partially into Tzafen. Rather, it was completely on the Durim side of the Hechel. So once again, walking into the Hechel, you have Tzafen on your right and Durim on your left. And through the walking into the Azara, right? And through the Azara, right down the middle, between Mizrach and Ma'ariv, you have a line, imaginary line, which is the Gvul, the boundary between Tzafen on the right and Durim on the left. The wording in the Mishnah proves to us that the Mizbeach was not anywhere in Tzafen. And that's why, when we speak about the location of the Kohen during the Gerel, we say he was Mizrach Azara, and mitzafen the Mizbeach. He had to be pulled towards the Tzafen, away from the Mizbeach. Why? Because you can't say he was b'mizrach ha-Mizbeach. There's no Mizrach Mizbeach which is in Tzafen. The only Mizrach ha-Mizbeach you have is in Dorin. This fellow had to be with Tzafen. So he was pulled towards Tzafen, away from the Mizbeach. So this proves the location of the Mizbeach. Mizbeach wasn't Durim. And that's what the Mishnah says. This fellow, on the one hand, was Mizrach Azara, but he was also Litzafen HaMizbeach. And that's why he did the girl. He was pulled away towards Tzafen, away from the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, Mani, whose Shita is represented in our Mishnah? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Apparently it's his Shita. The Tani. Where was the Mizbeach situated? The Pasuk says, Shechita takes place Al Yerach Mizbeach Tzafoyna, an extra hay. We learn from here, Tzafoyna Lefnei Hashem, Shehei Tzafoyin Kulei Panoi. Divrei Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. According to him, the entire Tzafoyin area in the Azara was totally clear. There was no Mizbeach there. Mizbeach, rather, was on Darim of Azara. And our Mishnah seems to be following this Shita. That's what the Mishnah says. The Kohen, when he went to do the girl, positioned himself Mizrach HaAzara, not Mizrach HaMizbeach, Mizrach HaAzara, Tzafen HaMizbeach. He was pulled away from Mizbeach, Letzad Tzafen. Because in Tzafen there was no Mizbeach. Says the Gemara Reish of Elazar b'Shimoni. Haven't we concluded yesterday that the Reish of the Mishnah, which tells us that the Par Kohen Gadol was between Ulam and Mizbeach, is following Shitas of Elazar b'Shimon, who holds that the Mizbeach did protrude a bit into Tzafen, which allowed us to bring the par into that corner between the Ulam and Mizbeach. Because that was also considered Tzafen. That's what we learned yesterday. So on the one hand we say, the Mishnah is following Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon's Shita. The Mizbeach was a bit into Tzafen. And here we say that Mizbeach was completely in Dorim. Right? If we said in the Reish that the par was shechted in Tzafen, which part of Tzafen? Between Ulam and Mizbeach. Between the Mizbeach and the first part of the Heichel. What does that tell us about the location of the Mizbeach? If you can bring the carbon standing between Ulam and Mizbeach, apparently Mizbeach was within Tzafen as well. Not completely in Dorim. And here we say otherwise. Says the Gemara Kula Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Actually, the entire Mishnah, this and the previous one, is following Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. That the Mizbeach was Bedarim. And that's why in our Mishnah, in order to do the Geirul, he had to be away from the Mizbeach, towards Tzafen. Because the Mizbeach wasn't there, wasn't Darim. Utni, and revise the previous Mishnah. Bevein Hulam Mizbeach. Or Kibbein, some of Ashita. So either way, the point is that the par was not positioned literally between Ulam and Mizbeach. Rather, it was in Tzafen, And it was very near that corner of the Mizbeach. It was within close proximity to the Bein Ulam and Mizbeach area. It wasn't actually between Ulam and Mizbeach. It wasn't. Because Mizbeach was Bedarim, and he had to be Betzafen. So he was certainly on the Tzafen side of the Azor, on the right side of the Azor. That's where he brought the par. But it was very close to the Mizbeach. And it was very close to the section of Bein Ulam and Mizbeach. The point again was to bring it very close to the Heichal, to shorten the trip for the Kohen Gadol when he would have to transport the Dam. Mishum Chulshu Kohen Gadol to conserve his energy on Kippur. So that's the Maskana. Of course, the following Rezim Yaakov holds that the Mizbeach was completely Bedarim, in which case, when he went to do the par, he couldn't be between Ulam and Mizbeach. He was next to the Mizbeach. He was on the southern side of the Azara, but right near that area, right near that corner of the Mizbeach, right near the Bein Ulam and Mizbeach. And as far as the Goyrol, that was towards the east of the Azara, the Mizrach Azara, but again, not Mizrach Mizbeach, because there was no Mizbeach in the Tzafen. Rather, as the Mishnah describes, it was Letzafen and Mizbeach. He was pulled towards the Tzafen side, away from the Mizbeach. Continues the Gemara. Haskan b'minoi, v'roish b'sav b'smoyle. When the Kohen Gadol did the Goyrol, he had the Skan on his right, the Rosh B'Sav on his left. Omar Vido, ha-mahalach l'min rabbi. He meant to know that if a Talmud walks to the right of his Rebbe, ha-reza bur, that indicates a lack of just a basic, plain basic derech eretz. He never meant to stand to the right of your Rebbe, walk alongside him, which perhaps shows that the Talmud is superior to the Rebbe. He's on the right. We have a kash from our Mishnah, Tanan, ha-skan b'minoi, v'Rosh B'Sav b'smoyloi. The Kohen Gadol, who was considered the most chashav person, the Gadol, he had the Skan on his right. Va'oitanya. In fact, we have another braisa. Shloisha shayum halchem baderech. There are three walking along. Harav be'emtza. The Rav is meant to be in the middle. Katan b'minoi. The Talmud, who's the more chashav Talmud, he's meant to walk to the right of his Rebbe. V'katan b'smoyloi. And the less important Talmud to the left. So once again, we see a Talmud can and should walk to the right of his Rebbe. V'chein matzinu b'shleisha malachei ha-shoros. The same thing we find by the malachim. Shabo eitz l'Avram. Michal be'emtza. Michal was the most chashav malach. He was like the Rebbe. He was in the middle. He had two malachim, one on either side. Gavriel b'yiminoi. Rufal b'smoyloi. So we see that you meant to walk alongside the Rebbe. You meant to be on the right side. Targumor. Rav Shmuel bar Papa. Rav Shmuel bar Papa explained. In front of Rav Adam. Kadesh Yischasa by Rabbi. When the Brisa tells us, or when the Mishnah by us tells us, that there's meant to be a Talmud to the right of the Rebbe. It's not literally to the right, lined up with him. Kadesh Yischasa by Rabbi means behind him. So it's behind him, pulled a little bit to the right. As Rashi explains, the Skan was pulled a bit to the right, and the Rosh B'Sav a bit to the left. But of course, it's behind him. Says the Gemara about Tanya, Hamalacha can't get Rabbi. If one walks equal, in line with his Rebbe, Harizabur, that denotes a lack of derech eretz, a lack of basic etiquette. Achari Rabbi, if he walks behind his Rebbe, which perhaps is indicative that the Rebbe is serving the Talmud, the Rebbe is in front of the Talmud, he's serving the Talmud, like we have a Gemara which says Eved Mahalach Lefanov, they had to have an Eved running in front of the Master. So walking behind the Rebbe is also inappropriate. Harei ze Megatzei Ruach. That's a show of haughtiness. So how do you propose that the Skan and Rosh Beis Av were standing behind the Kohen Gadol? That's also not appropriate. Answers the Gemara, the Metzadeid at Tzudi. It was a bit to the side. Not literally behind him, but a bit off to the side. So, not equal to him. That's also not okay. Not directly behind him, but behind him and off to the side, one to the right, one to the left. And that was a cover to the Kohen Gadol. Mishnah continues, V'kalfi ha'sesham, there was this lottery box, u'boshnei garolos, which contained two tickets, two lotteries. Tanur Rabbanan, Pasuk says, V'nasan Aaron al shnei asirim garolos. Aaron will place both garolos on the two goats. We learn from here, garolos shall call davar. You can use any material to fashion these lottery tickets. Rambam says it could be from stone, metal, gold, silver, anything. Anything is acceptable. Yochel, yitin shnayim azeh, u'shnayim azeh. Perhaps, the Pasuk is telling us, v'nosan, al shnei asirim goyrolis, you meant to place both lottery tickets on both goats. Each goat is meant to have two lottery tickets. What does that mean? You meant to have two tickets with the word Lashem, two tickets with the word Lazozel. Place two Lashems on one animal and two on the other. Tamalem a girl Echad Lashem, the girl Echad Lazozel. The Vilna Goyen takes out the word Echad. See, that goes on the side, takes out the Echad. Girl Lashem, the girl Lazozel. There's only one girl, only one ticket, which says Lashem and one which has Lazozel. So it's one of each. Enkan Lashem ala girl Echad, we only have one girl, which contains the word Lashem. Enkan Lazozel ala Echad, and likewise, when it comes to Azazel, there's only one of them. Yochal yitin shal shem v'shal Azazel. Alze, v'shal shem v'shal Azazel alze. Perhaps, you meant to place both tickets on either animal. The shem and Azazel on one, the shem and Azazel on the other one. So first place it on one, and on the other. Somehow figure it out. And as Rashi says, Ve'ezes she'yirtze yasal Hashem, which leaves it up to you. You'll decide which one you want to use for Hashem, which one for Azazel. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. He says that you need to have a girl to determine. You can't just decide your own. It brings the Gemara later on. The shame, calling out the name designation doesn't work. It's the girl that works. See, it looks differently than Rashi. The Gemara's havmin was perhaps make a swap. First put the shame on one and the azazel on the other to determine. And then just switch it temporarily. Have each goat sort of relate to the other one. That's the havamin. Talmud Leimar, the pasuk continues, Goral echad Lashem. Enkan Lashem ala echad. So we learn from the fact that we have the word echad. You see, the previous drasha wasn't based on echad. But a shaila whether to make a double lottery, double shem, double azazel, two tickets of each. The response was girl Hashem, girl Hashem yachad. Only one girl Hashem, only one ticket of azazel. Here, we have another shaila. Fine, make one ticket for Hashem, one for azazel. But perhaps you meant to apply both tickets, both animals. The answer is, now we stress the word echad. Gor echad Hashem. Enkel Hashem ala echad. Only one of these animals are meant to be designated Hashem. You're not left with a choice. You have a clear-cut determination. Which one is which? Ve'enkel nazazel ala echad. And only one of them is meant for lazazel. Enkema tamalei megareles. That's the case. Why does the pasuk use Lashon Rabbah? Which was really the basis for the entire speculation here. We have Lashon Rabbah Gerolis, which perhaps tells us he meant to do it in multitudes, many, pairs and doubles. If that's the case, if we don't allow doubles, then why say Gerolis, Lashon Rabbah? To teach us, she used Shavin, that both lotteries are meant to be equal, meant to be fashioned alike. Shelo yase echad shel zav, echad shel kesef, one shouldn't be gold, another one silver, echad gadol, echad katan, one large, one small. They're meant to be similar in size, in shape, and in material. Gerola shel kol davar. Bryce began by saying, you can fashion these lottery tickets using any type of material. Pshita, of course, why would I think otherwise? Lo yitzricha l'kidasanya. The chiddush here is because of the following Bryce. V'shematzi nu b'tzitz. Shehashem kasev alav. V'shal zav, we find by the tzitz. Since it had the shem Hashem, it had to be made of gold. Yochel avzakein, perhaps, here as well, has the shem Hashem, it needs to be gold. In honor of Hashem, tamaloyim a goyrol. Goyrol riba. Look, the pasuk has an extra mentioning of a girl. Girl echad Hashem, girl echad Azazel. Pasuk could have simply said, girl echad Hashem, echad Azazel. Why repeat girl? To tell us, a riba, girl, girl riba. You can use any material. Riba shal zayis, you can use olive wood. Riba shal egos, wood from a walnut tree. Riba shal shkaroya, you can use the boxwood, as described in the Mishnah. Binkatan Asashne Masadal Kir Tana. What was the purpose of 12 spouts? Kadesh Yushnim Asar Echava Kehanim. Hasukin Bitamid. That all 12 Kehanim involved in the current Tamid can go ahead and use the Kir at the same time. Mekachin Idem Raglaim Vasachas. Without delay. Tana. We looked at a Braisa. Originally, the Kira only had two spouts. One on top, one on bottom. Shachris b'melui. In the morning, when the Kira was filled, Mekadosh had a Viragla b'nelia. He would use the upper spout because it was still within that water level. Arvis, however, in the afternoon, if he had to rewash his hands for some reason, b'ridase, when the water level dropped, Mekadosh had a Viragla b'natachtoin, he would use the bottom spout. Now, why would they have to have two spouts? I looked around the Mefarshim, couldn't find a hesber for this. Why is it that in the morning they had to have one on top, one on bottom? They could have just made one on bottom to account for morning and afternoon. In any case, this was the original version of the Kiyar. Until Ben Katan upgraded things, he attached several more spouts for a total of 12 to accommodate all Kehanim at once. Vafu also Muchni al-Kiyar, he added another feature, the Muchni. My Muchni, what is this? I'm going to buy a Gilgula. This was the wheel. Tava Meshakale, which was used to lower the Kiyar below ground, connected to the underground water, which will make it immune to psul lino. Munbaz hamelach haya also kol yudeis hakelim. He upgraded all the handles of the Yom Kippur utensils, turned them into gold. Now dinu lididu dizav. Why only the handles? He should have upgraded lididu, the actual utensils, to gold. Amar Abaye biyadis sakinim. We're speaking about handles of knives. Says Rashi on top biyadis sakinim. You can't use gold knives. The blade itself has to be strong and resistant. Gold is a soft metal. So the knife itself couldn't be gold. Rather, the handles were upgraded to gold. This Munbas, he also upgraded other things. Kane Kalim, the base of Kalim, Vo'idne Kalim, the grip hold of the Kli, the other Kalim, the handles of Kalim. Apparently we're speaking about other Kalim as well, not only knives. V'yodei Sakinim, and also the knife handles. Shema Kippurim, Shozov. So you upgrade all these handles, not only handles of the knives, but also the handles belonging to other Kalim. He turned them into gold. Now, if he's getting involved in upgrading Kalim, not only knives, why doesn't he just turn them into gold, the actual utensils into gold? Why only the handles? Tirguma Abaya. Abaya responded by explaining that the Bryce is referring to specific types of Kalim. Bekatata, the handles of dinargi, of axes, bechatzini, and some sort of cleavers, some sort of sickles, meat cleavers, used in the Beis HaMikdash. So we're speaking of cutting utensils, in which case the blades could not be gold, and all that was left to be done is to upgrade the handles. But of course, when it comes to regular Kalim, perhaps they were already made of gold, even before Mumbaz arrived. The thing was that the knives were not gold, and he decided, I'm going to upgrade at least the handles. I can't do the blades, I'll leave the handles. Hilni Ima, his mother Hilni, was also generous, and Asso Nivresha Shalzov, she donated this candelabra, this golden fixture, which was affixed atop the entrance way to the Hechel. Remember, the Hechel was very tall structure. So all the way up on top of the Pesach, which was 20 amos high, they affixed this fixture for what purpose? Tana. B'shah shacham azarachas. When the sun would rise, nitzoytis yetzim mena. So the rays coming forth from the sun would bounce off and reflect off this candelabra. Nitzoytis, these rays would sparkle off the candelabra. And this will be an indicator, an alarm clock of sorts, shegiyaz man kriyashma, that it's the appropriate time for kriyashma. It's already hanetzacham. Meisve, avakashmar brais, hakriyashma shachrus, im anshim mishma. Should one decide to lay in kriyashma together with the anshim mishma, the group of kehanim who are going to do the avoid on that day, they did a kriyashma way earlier than hanetzacham. Earlier than the share of Mishayakim and Chayas Lavan, which is a standard share for all. They began their day very, very early and they did the Krishma, right after Alisa Shach. So should an ordinary person read Krishma together with them? HaKurishma Shachazim Anshe Mishmar, Ve'anshe Mamad, or together with the Anshe Mamad, this was another group of people, the Yisraelim, who represented Kal Yisrael on the Beis HaMikdash, that would come to stand and observe by the Karbonis. And they only got around to Krishma much later. So if one reads with them, Either the Anshe Mishmar, it's too early. Anshe Mamar, it's too late. Lo Yotza, it's not really Yotza. Of course, the Ritva says, it just means you're not Yotza, the ideal way of reading Krishna. Because it's too early and too late for that. Because the Anshe Mishmar, the Kehanim, would get up early and they would say the Krishna earlier than the ideal time to allow them to do the Avodah. The Anshe Mamar, on the other hand, the Anshe Mamar, Ma'achrim, they would delay matters. So the appropriate time is somewhere between these two groups. You're not meant to really do your Krishna with the Anshe Mishmar or the Anshe Mamad. So what's the Kasha? Apparently, the Nevresha Shel Zov was not there to serve as a cue for the people in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? They would learn Krishna before or after, not at the time of Netzach Hama. So what was the purpose of this Nevreshes? Amar Abaye L'Shar Amo Yerushalayim. You're right. It wasn't there to indicate for the Kehanim or the Anshe Mishmar. They had their own schedule. Rather, it was meant as an indicator for the Shar Amo, the rest of the people who came into the Beis HaMikdash, came in from the city, from Yerushalayim, to observe the Karban. And they were free to do what they want. And therefore, the appropriate time for them, of course, is at the point when they notice the rays bouncing off the Nevreshes, which indicated the arrival of an Etzacham. Let's take a look at Rashi, four lines from the top. Nitzaitis. These are the rays bouncing off the Nevreshes. Zaruris, Shachama, Zerachas, Mizrach. Venotal, Pesach, Ha'echel, Shutzad, Marovi. Very simple, because the sun rose in the east. And its rays would bounce off the Pesach, Ha'echel, which was a eastern-facing structure, eastern-facing entrance, on top of which the Nevreshes was positioned, which allowed it to bounce off and reflect back the Zahari Chama. And this will tell them that time for Krishna arrived. Shigas man Krishna kedasanya mitzvaso. Ideally, Krishna should be said imanetzacham. But we have a kasha. Brisa says, if one does Krishna together with Anshe Mishmar, that's no good. Shakahanim shavoidim utel asaleim. Those kahanim who involved in today's avodah magdim lekroisa koydim ayayim. They said Krishna early, before neitzacham. Shema temashach lein avodah v'yiminu lekruk lekrois. They were concerned that perhaps the avodah will get delayed and prolonged, and would not allow them to say Krishna. Therefore, they beat the rush and did Krishna early. On the other hand, the Anshe Maimad, Yisrael, Ha'imdem B'shlichos HaTzibur, Al HaKarban, this was the group of Israel, the contingency of Israelim, who came to represent Klal Yisrael, and would stand there during that Karban, HaKarban, Shenemar, Tishmur Li L'Hakar Li Mitzvah Shi Meshamr Ma'imdem HaKarbanam, HaChidorosh L'Bisefri M'Sechas Tanis. We learn that one is meant to be present. When you bring a Karban, you can't do it remote control, you have to be there, get involved. Do your smicha, your vidu, etc. So how did Yisrael accomplish that with Karbanis Tzibur? The answer is, we had a group, a representative. Every week there was another group of people, Anshe Mamad, who were part of the Akrava. They had to be there, be mechaven, take part in the process, and they couldn't do Krishna during the Akrava. Rather, they waited till after the Karban Tamid to say Krishna. Ma'achron likreis ad kleis avelis atamid. So what was the point of the Nevreshes? It wasn't serving the Kehanim or the Israelim. The answer is, L'shar Amma, Haboim Bazora, whose similar ideas when Kriya Shema was intended for the rest of the crowd, just visitors, spectators, coming to see the Karban. Continues the Gemara. Va'afi asa tavla. What else did Hilni donate? This tablet, on which was engraved the Psukim, Pasha Soita, which the Kohen would use to copy from, when he would have to write the parsha for the soita, which was scrubbed into the water, which he would drink. Says the Moshamas Mina, we can learn from this Mishnah, Koisvin Megillah, one is allowed to write just a small scroll, just containing a portion of Torah, of Torah Shebichsav. You can do that. Koisvin Megillah Letinak L'Slamad Ba. In order to teach a child Chumash, you can do that. And actually, it's not so posh. It's Machlokes Maseches Gittin. Whether that's allowed. We take out a portion of Torah and write it separately. Apparently it's allowed. We did it here. We took the tavla and inscribed on it a parsha. Amar Shlokish, Meshur B'lyanai Ba'alafes. They didn't actually write out the words. It was done cryptically, using Rashi Tevis. And the Kohen used that as an indicator from which to copy the Psukim. So we had just a short form without it actually being expressed. Meisve makashma brisa kshur koisev, and the Kohen would write the pasha soita roya. Take a look at the tablet. Vekoisev mashakasa b'tavla, and write out everything in the tablet. Apparently, It was actually written out, word for word. Ema, read the Brisa as follows. Roya, you take a look at the tavla. V'kosev kema shekosev b'tavla. He would write similar to what he found on the tavla, because really it wasn't written out there. It was just in short form. Meisve, cash from another Brisa. K'shev kosev, and the Kohen would write, Roya v'kosev mashekosev b'tavla. He would take a look at the tavla and write, and copy what was said there. Uma kosev b'tavla, what was written there? Im shachav ish oisach, im loy shachav, im satis, loy satis, all the psukim. It sounds like the psukim were actually written out in long form. Hasam b'sirugin. The Brisa doesn't mean it was actually written out completely. B'sirugin, it's alternated. Meaning, the beginning of the pasuk was written out. Im loy shachav, and then the rest was already abbreviated. Im loy satis was written out, but the rest of the pasuk was abbreviated because, of course, perhaps, you're not meant to write out a complete parsha, take out a parsha and turn and write it separately. Okay, time for a brief chazor after this daf. We began the concept of responding to Hashem's name, as we do it today with Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoy. At the end of our bracha, we say Amen. We had a full list of these generous donors who were included in the honor roll of Beis Hamikdash, Maskir Nois and Leshvach. Number one, we had Ben Gamla, who upgraded the gorillas from wood to gold. We had Ben Katan, the Kohen Gadol, who fashioned the 12 faucets for the Kiyar to allow his fellow Kehanim to wash uninhibited. We had the Mukhni, which was added as well by Ben Katan, this wheel to allow the Kiyar to be lowered into the ground to avoid Psolina. We had Munbaz HaMelech, who upgraded the handles of the knives. The knives itself themselves could not be gold, but the handles were upgraded to gold. We had his mother Hilni, who was a donor as well. She made the Nevreshes, this candelabra of fixture, which was positioned by the Pesach HaHechel to provide an indicator for Zman Krishma. We had the Tavla as well, which she donated, the gold tablet, which contained in some form the Parsha of Soita. And of course we ended with Niknar, whose doors experienced the great Nisim. And this is the complete the list of tzaddikim, of donors, who donated to the Beis HaMikdash. We learned in the Gemara that one is not meant to walk in front or directly behind his Rebbe, rather off to the side a bit. And that's what they did in the Beis HaMikdash regarding the Kohen Gadol, the Skan to his right, the Reish Beis Zav a bit to his left, but of course not really in line with Kohen Gadol, which would not be respectful. We learned as well regarding the Gorillas that both lottery tickets had to be similarly fashioned, both same material, same size. You can use any type of material. Of course, it was done with wood initially, and then it was upgraded to gold. And of course, we learned that there was only one of each, one of Lashem, one of Lazazel, and one was placed on one animal, the other one to determine which one's Lashem, which one's Lazazel. And Lashem tomorrow will proceed with a detailed description of the Nisim that occurred with Nicknar's doors. Hatzlacha Rabbah to you.